This is the Carlton Podcast. Here's your host, Tony Moclair.
Hello and welcome to the Carlton Podcast for 2014. The lineup unchanged from last year. Mitch Robinson. G'day, Mitch. How are you going?
Very good, mate. It's great to be back. How you feeling, mate? Fresh from the big break or what?
I certainly am. I'm pumped and ready to go. Carlton's 150th year. Tony Moclair is back with Robbo hosting the podcast. Slight change in format this year. We've got a lot to get through today, Robbo. There's a new expanded 30-minute podcast.
Look out, 30 minutes. So everyone gets the news, latest updates, and we'll have plenty of in stock for all the old people out there.
Well, let me tell you what's coming up, Robbo. We're going to just cover off pre-season in Arizona. Going to talk about drafted players that we need to watch this year. Murph and Walker both re-signing. Going to talk about that and have a chat about free agency as well. We'll preview the Port Adelaide game.
Yep.
And, of course, we're going to talk about the 150th year and the new Guernsey, which is very exciting. But looks firstly, amazing. Talking about exciting.
Yes, mate.
Mitch Robinson, father to be. Congratulations.
Thank you. No, it's been a long 9 months so far. We've got 2 weeks left. The baby's actually due, little boy's due on the 27th of March. So that's round two, Richmond. So
Why did I do the fist pump there?
I have no idea. Is that your birthday?
No. Father son rule.
Oh, yes. No, hopefully get my 12 games up this year. I'm sitting on 88. So I've used the coaches. I've told them, if you give me 12 under the belt, then I'll be very happy with that.
And so how are you? How does the birth of a child, because there's plenty of players
punch
in the team.
Punch his way out. He's my son. He'll be punching his way out.
How is it going to affect you? Because, Carrots can tell you all you need to know. Juddy can tell you all you need to know.
Mate, there's plenty of people around the club giving me advice. Four or five babies getting born this year from the Colton the boys. So
wow.
I think we're going to need a little bit of playpen down there. So
yep.
It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I'm not really doing that much. It's all in Emma, but I've talked to a couple of the boys and they just said, make sure you have a spare room because, night before games, you want to get your shut eye. And I think I've got that set up already, so I'm ready to go.
Good work. I have three questions then on behalf of the Carlton Podcast for a player who is expecting a child at the Carlton Football Club.
Yeah.
Question number one, is the baby delivered by the club doctor?
No, we've been lucky enough. What happened was I didn't get Emma on my private insurance early enough. So we're going public, we're going the Royal Women. So luckily enough, we got in there. They're meant to be the best going around.
They do a great job. They're wonderful.
So we got in there. It's all sweet. We have another appointment later on today. So we get to go in there and just check the baby's all good and facing the right way, going head first. So a bit like my motto, head first. But
exactly. I was going to say it's going to be crash through or crash burn.
It's exciting times.
Okay, second question. Is the umbilical cord cut by the list manager?
I don't think Andy McKay would be in there in the birth suite. So, that'll be my job, mate. I'm the only man in there.
Unless
midwife's a
you in the cheer squad. And last question. This is probably a slightly delicate one. Does the baby bonus come under the salary cap?
I think it's $5,000, the baby bonus.
Is it?
Yeah, I think
Crikey.
It is. Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure we just made it. I might be cut off there. I think someone was going to cut off the money, but no, it doesn't because I'm still getting the same old $2 a game, so
yes.
I might bump up to $2.50.
All right. Well, good luck on behalf of all of us. And you said Junior was due when?
27th of March, so it'll be a day or so late so I can play against Richmond, but if not.
So be it. Now, speaking of playing, the preseason in Arizona. Can you talk us through that, Robbo? How many Arizonas have you done?
I've done two, and this one was the worst 2 weeks of my life, I reckon.
Because it was hard?
We got this new person, I don't know if you know his name, Dave Butterfin, came in from Collingwood.
Yeah.
He's had to live up to big expectations, and he thought, 2 weeks, what better time just to smash him as hard as you can. So, it was hard. It was pretty hard for me because I was in the rehab group over there. I just came off a foot injury from that Richmond game in the finals. Didn't end up getting surgery on it because it tore itself, so it was pretty, did its own job. So, went over there. I didn't go on the hikes, but the hikes were about 6 hours doing the Grand Canyon. So we had to replica that, but in training. So it'd be boxing, cycling, X-Fit stuff. It'd be all that for 6 hours. So a few of the boys did that, and they reckon it was just absolute hell.
And how does everybody feel after coming back? What's the consensus amongst the group about how Arizona has train their bodies, I guess.
Yeah, we feel really good. It's more of a mental thing up there, like seeing how far you can push yourself. And, you know, a few teams are getting over to overseas now and getting some high-altitude training. And you can see, like, everyone's running better times. Everyone's, like, running a lot longer in game. So it's definitely picked up a bit. But now we feel pretty strong and you know, fit at the moment. So we've shown in a couple of our games. It's kind of getting hard used to the interchange rule. But, you know, we're ready to go in this Sunday. So look out.
How did the team travel generally? Tommy Bell is a big unit. How does he go on a long trans-Pacific flight?
It's all about sleeping tablets these days.
Okay.
16 hours, like usually probably back in the olden days would have been have a few drinks and you can pass out from that way. But nah, just, you know, there's a lot to do on airplanes these days. You get your phones, you get your iPads, laptops, everyone gets up to date with like the Game of Thrones or the Good. Walking Dead series. So everyone's pretty occupied on the plane. I just slept the whole way, so it was amazing.
Okay. Now, who do we need to look out for? Who showed some early promise? There's been the games against the Kangaroos and the Bulldogs. Who do you like the look of?
Well, especially in the preseason, I reckon big Tommy Bell. He ran amazing times around the 2K time trial, and he just shown so much over the preseason. Like, he's 95 kilos or 90 kilos and just absolute beast on the running track. And Kerno was the same with him. He was always, like, top two with those blokes. But during the footy, I reckon... definitely Andreas Everett's popped up. I think he's like the next Lockie Henderson in the club. He's gone forward and back, and he can play those dual roles, which is what we really need. So we can kind of set Hendo in a, you know, if we're going to play someone that night and we need a third tall, he can go down there and kick goals for us. Or if we need someone back on another tall, and he'll go up there and do the same thing. So I reckon, yeah, Andreas Everett's been massive for us.
Is that generally the plan, Robbo, without an Eddie Betts kicking those opportunistic goals?
Yeah.
What will the strategy be? I know he's a mate of yours. It's definitely sad to see him go.
He was a mate of mine. Yeah, he was. As I said, yeah, because Andreas, he can go really well up forward. It's about Jeffrey now. Like, I think Yaron, we're playing a little bit more down back, which, you know, we love him down there. That's where teams kind of, you know, tighten up a little bit and they need to tag him out of the game. So, it's, you know, mental's been smashing so far. He's kicked a couple of goals a game, and you know, he's one of those players that can play tall and small, so he's kind of hard to match up on. I see him being a pretty good jet, like kicking those left foot goals.
Well, there's, I guess, a perception that you might want to not go as hard as you possibly can in a pre-season game. Yeah. Is that an unfair perception? Because if you do go really hard, you might hurt yourself, and then you're out for the, you know, the first couple of games. What is the player's approach to a preseason game?
It's kind of a difficult one because, you know, you want to get the match fitness, so you want to run hard in the preseason games, but also, you know, if you start second-guessing yourself going into contests and stuff, that's when you really do get injured. So it's kind of hard, but I guess if you're playing for a spot, you're not fully cemented in the team like one of the older senior blokes, and, you know, you got to show what you can put on the ground. And, you know, a lot of us younger blokes still have to kind of go hard in every game. So, as we tried pretty hard. It's kind of hard, like, getting used to the new structures and the new players around you. So it's kind of getting to know the other players and gelling as a team and taking them into round one.
How's your relationship with Mick? And
amazing, yeah.
Great. And so, were you on the plane, maybe massaging his feet so he didn't get DVT, deep vein thrombosis? Were you bringing him extra packets of peanuts? Were you cementing that relationship with Mick to get the extra 12 games you need? More importantly, that we need for the father son.
Mate, I was doing whatever I could to get a game. Me and him were best mates over the camp. But Mick's been a great coach. He's one of the smartest blokes I know. And there might have been a few favours here and there. But we're looking pretty good so far. Hopefully starting round one on Sunday. And we don't know the teams yet, so I think we find out probably Saturday.
Well, let's preview that game. It's against
the big one.
Yeah, Port Adelaide. The last time we played them was round 23 last year.
That's it.
Mentally, what sort of headspace are you in? And you know, obviously you're thinking about imminent fatherhood, but you've got your head around what you need to do and what we need to do to beat Port.
Yeah, personally, I just have to keep playing the same game that I've worked on like for the last couple of months here. And, you know, we've got Dean Laidley, who's a great new assistant coach. He's a midfield coach, and he's been absolutely, like, you can, like, really get along with all the players, and he's pretty smart too. So it's good to have him in there. He's got a few new tactics up his sleeve, and it works out well for my kind of game style. And also, as like the team, you know, we've kind of set a team that's there at the moment, and going to round one, we'll kind of use what we, like, we beat them twice last year, put Adelaide twice, so we're going to use that in our favour. You know, we know what works against them, we know what doesn't, because, as you said, round 23 was a come behind win, and it took from half time onwards to kind of figure them out. But obviously we've got a full time coach on board who goes and susses out Port Adelaide, and he's had a while to do that now, so now we're ready for him.
So he's had to go over to Port Adelaide.
Yeah, he's been everywhere on Baz. Now Baz has been everywhere. He's a little little scout and a spy, I guess you could say. And he's been presenting with us today. We had a nice presentation from him, so now we're all over it.
Yeah, had to have his spider tattoo on his elbow just to fit in and add that in there.
He had his beanie on there. You can see him.
I know. Well, the end of last year to play two finals was great.
Would have been better if we played four.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic, obviously. What was the, I guess, wrap-up? What lessons did the team take from season 2013?
I guess it was more learning curve for a few of the players. We put a few new faces to the team, and you know, we got to see like Menzel and a couple of these younger blokes stepping up. Keisha, Belly got a few games on the belt. So, you know, we took out the finals was, you never give up because, you know, as we said, we had to beat Port Adelaide to get in that final, and, you know, you never know what can happen when you make the finals. So we beat Richmond, and, you know, we thought we had a pretty good chance against Sydney, and, you know, we would have flown to Frio to play them over there. So I guess we took some more experience. A few more blokes got to play finals footy and get a taste for it. And, you know, we've got some fresh faces this year in Dale Thomas, Andres Everett, and I think they'll be playing round one. So we can't wait to get out in the field.
What does the 150th of the club mean to the players? It's quite a milestone. Carlton's a lot older than a lot of Premier League football clubs in the UK, which is something.
Crazy. Yeah, well, you know, we've had a few older players around the club. As in, Stephen Kernahan's been around here. He knows what it means really about the club. And, you know, we had Brattles down a couple of years ago and Diesel Williams. And, you know, just trying to get the club back on track to successful footy because, you know, when we come to the club, the first thing you think about is winning premierships. When you walk in the doors, first thing you see in the 200 games players walking down the race there. So all we want to do is get the respect back from the fans and come out and try and like give it our best this year because it's 150th year. It does mean a lot to the club and the players. So it's not just a slogan for the year, but we actually are taking it on board and we're going to give 110% every game.
Robbo, the official 2014 season guide to the Carlton Football Club, which is out now. If we just turn to page 11, you'll see the performance. There's an interesting article on the Elite Performance Unit, but more importantly, right next to that, on page 25, is an article on the leadership group. Can you talk us through the leadership group and changes that have been made?
Yeah, every year we've kind of had all the boys get up who thinks they're confident enough to put their hand up for leadership group. And, you know, this year we had about 17 players get up, which is a massive plus. You know, we've had a few inclusions this year, which, you know, we thought they've been, you know, up there for the last couple of years. But it's good to have the inclusion of Brock McLean, Lockie Henderson, of course, Hendo. He's definitely cemented his spot in the team from last year and he's looking really good. And we've got Gibber. Gibber's... last year, he kind of wanted to focus a bit more on his footy and, you know, try and get the love and passion back for footy, I think, because he had a bit of a down year the year before. So he put his hand back up and just straight away elected back in because the boys, you know, really get behind him and he's a professional player, number one draft pick, of course. So that always works for him.
How is it decided? Is it a vote by the players or by the existing members of the leadership group?
Yeah, so every player gets up in front of the group and gives a little speech why they should be in there and what rules they can enforce. And, you know, it's most about on-field, but obviously off-field too, because you don't want anyone in the leadership group that doesn't work hard in the gym or runs hard off track or training-wise. So, yeah, they get up and do the little spiel. And after all that's been done, there's a sheet comes out and all the boys put down from 1 to, 1 to whoever, how many, 17, I think it was, and... yeah, it comes from that.
So it is an election. Is there any skullduggery, any corruption? Is there?
Well,
is
we don't actually see. We don't actually see the votes. We don't think it tallied up. So I think it goes upstairs, and I think whoever they want in the leadership group actually happens.
Right.
So they make us think that we're putting in our vote, but it's not really happening at all.
Well, you could argue all democracy is a sham, Robbo. But so do they? Once in the leadership group, do they become drunk with power?
They do. I used to cop it from Juddy. I said, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, Juddy. Yeah. Now he's not even in the captain or in the leadership group. So I'd say, mate, I know you won a couple of premierships here and there, but come on.
Yeah, exactly. Up. Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are, mate?
Yeah, come on. This is.
I've been in nearly longer than you.
Yeah. This is.
I'm one club player, mate. This is my club.
This is a socialist republic.
Yes.
It's not some highfalutin
monarchy. But it's good, though. All the boys have done really well. And it's also because a few of the fellas might be injured or something like that. So it's, you know, who is on the field, they'll lead by example. And, you know, in the reviews, they'll step up if there's done wrong, and you know, it's been really good so far.
How does it go with the leadership group that big? Do you think it's almost too big?
No, not really. How many is it? Eight?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's eight. No, I think it's about a good size because you've got a whole bunch of leaders in there, you know, ranging from Gibbers to Gibbers 24 and Hendo's about 24, and it goes up to, you know, I think Chuka probably, or Carrazza's probably the oldest there at nearly 30. So, you know, they've all got the things they can add to the team, and their leadership qualities are all different. So it's, I think it's a good balance at the moment.
I think it is great to see Brock McLean in there as well, because he will take you to task during a game, won't he? He will give you an earful if you're not performing up to his particular standard, which I think is a great thing to
and
see.
And he'll tell
as
it
a
to
supporter.
Your face or on Twitter, so he will tell you what he thinks.
On Twitter?
Yes.
Okay. Right. Well, whatever it takes. Now,
whatever it takes.
You mentioned Bryce Gibbs. The whole free agency debate has been kind of bubbling along.
It's been a big one again. Every year I'm kind of getting sick of it, really.
Well, it's a perennial, but it's good fun to kind of kick around.
I think everyone forgets I'm out of contract this year too, but I'm just being swept under the rug like.
Well, no.
I want to get in now because after all these boys sign on, which I know they will, there'll be nothing left. I'll be playing for less than that $2.50 a game. But no, it's been pretty good so far. We've had a couple of big signings. We had Murphy, obviously the captain. He signed for a further 4 years, which has been amazing because, you know, he can show how young he is and he's captain of the club already, and he stands up when need to be standing up. So we also got, who else did we get to sign up? We got Walker Talkie. Yep, big Walker sign up, Skywalker. He's another one that's ticked off. So you can see, because the culture of the club's getting better. The last 2 years has been really good for the boys, and we're starting to build something strong down here with Mick and a couple of new coaches around. Like, there's a little bit of the Sydney type culture going on, I think, which is really good. So I think, you know, Gibbsy and a couple other boys. I think we've got Yaron Simpson to sign up, but I think that pen to paper will be done pretty soon.
All right, because people keep asking me whether or not Gibbs is going to sign.
Yeah.
What can you tell me? Because I'll tell you the response that I give them.
Yeah, no, I think Gibbs is not far off. Yeah, like, I've heard a lot of rumours he might be going back over to Adelaide, but, you know, he's got his wonderful girlfriend down here, and he's building a house just over across the road in big Colton area.
Yeah.
So I think he's pretty set, and he's got his new fashion label going. So.
Well, I keep telling people the number one reason I know that Gibbs will stay at Carlton.
Was it?
This is where his hairdresser is.
Exactly, Chika. Nah, so, that's actually yeah.
Could you imagine that painful separation?
But I think if Gibbo, you know, went to Port Adelaide or something like that and got paid that much money, he'd probably just fly Chica over there.
Yeah.
Whereas once a week haircuts.
Be a bit like Elvis sending his private jet to Colorado to get a round of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
There you go.
What I want to do is
put on that weight, oh, big Presley.
Yeah, he sent them to the Guernsey Islands as well. Jersey Islands, Channel Islands.
Jersey.
Yeah, there we go. What I want to do now, Robbo, is actually, because there's been a number of changes at the club, we've lost people, we've gained people.
Yep.
I just want to go through the recruits and just get you to give me a description of the new recruit. Just tell me, what they're like.
One or two words I'll give you two.
All right, here we go. You ready? Sam Doherty.
Great young player from Brisbane. He's been struck with the injury since Arizona, which has been pretty annoying because we had big things for him from the halfback flank, but he's tracking along nicely. He's just started running, and he put the boots on for the first day today since November, so we're looking forward to him back.
All right. Daisy, how's he settling in?
He's doing really well, better than expected. I didn't really think he'd be ready for round one, but he's been training really hard over in Arizona when we first got to meet him, and he's come back. He's played two games now, I think, and he's just starting to hit his straps now. It's always going to be hard for a new bloke at a club, and now he's feeling pretty well.
Cameron Wood.
Big Woodsy, he's a good ruckman. I played a couple of games with him so far, and even training, he gives Robbie Warnock and Cruz a bit of a hit out, so I think... I don't know if he has to get elevated or he might be... Yeah, I think he has to get elevated to play games, but...
How tall is he, Robbo?
He's about 196 or 7, I think. Yeah, probably a bit higher. Probably nearly 200, I think. So
wow.
He's put on the most muscle at the club in the whole preseason, so I think he's at about 100 kilos now.
Okay.
So he's a big boy.
So where's he at in his development?
Ready, he's ready to step up when he gets called upon, I reckon. He's shown a bit of... bit of jump and a bit of ruck work in the trainings and in the first game he played. So, no, looking forward to seeing if one is in touch with one of the players go down, he'll be ready to step back up straight away.
That's great. Yeah. Blaine Johnson?
Jono, he's more fierce than I thought he would be, actually. He's very quiet. We call him No Complain Johnson, or No Complain Blaine, actually, we call him. Yeah, he does not say a word in the club. You wouldn't have noticed this here, but he played this on the weekend, and he's actually really hard. I think he played like six quarters on the weekend, played three of the reserves, and stood up to AFL and played three of that, so... He ran a lot of Ks, and he's a hard little bugger.
Well, if he's anywhere near as good as Wayne Johnson, we'll be very excited.
Very close.
Patrick Cripps.
Big Cripper, the big battering ram. He's about 90 kilos and about 190-something centimetres, so he's flying at the moment. I'm not too sure if he's playing round one, but I guess we'll find out in a couple of days, but he would not look out of place. He's doing pretty well at the moment, yeah.
Cameron Giles?
Big Gilesy, yep. He's fitting in pretty well with Stoneman White and Jamison. They've been picking on him every day since he's got to the club, and I was asking Jamo why he reckons breaking down, then he built him back up as a man. So,
okay, that, yeah, really.
He's taking him through those steps, but no, he cops. I've been telling him to stick up for himself, but he reckons it just gets harder when he does something back. So, but he'll fit in nicely in the back line there.
Andreas Everett.
Yeah, I like Andreas. Big skinny, he's doing very well so far. As I said before, he can be a forward or a back. He's kicked a couple of goals so far in NAB Cup, and all the boys love him. He gets around everyone, and he's a quiet character, but he's an absolute legend.
You can talk us through this. Your first couple of months at the club, you know, in the lead up to the first game of the season, in fact, in the lead up to your first game,
yep.
What's that experience like?
It's nerve-wracking. It's really hard because I know for myself, you've got to have confidence that, yes, everyone's at the club at the same time, and you have that period where you go through training and you want to train really well, and you might have a couple of bad training sessions, and they can only really go off a NAB Cup game. So it's kind of hard for especially a new player to come in and try and show what he's got. But Andreas hasn't put a foot back, and neither has Daisy. So those boys look on target for round one, and we can't wait to see him out there in the Blues colours and officially get a game under the belt.
Obviously, Daisy's got a relationship with Mick, but it would be quite intimidating.
Father-son rule, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't know Mick played the club, but he got in somehow.
Could it be intimidating for some of these younger players to get in and then, you know, your coach is Mick Malthouse?
Yes, I found I felt like I was here for the first time when Mick came here because instantly he was an intimidating fella, so... as I said, yeah, younger boys, it's all about the culture we're setting, and we, if a young boy sees something he doesn't like, he should say something. So, we've given them the power to, go with it and, train hard and play, do what you can in games. And if they tell you to take it back a little bit of training, just try and do some extras and stuff. But all the young boys that have come on this year, it's been really well. I reckon it's been one of the better drafts we've had in a couple of years, probably since my year.
And you as a senior player, obviously, taking them under your wing, getting them to drive you to the hospital when you need it.
No, I've actually...
Borrowing money from them, getting them to pay for your lunch. Is that how it works?
Flown one of my best mates up from Tassie. He's living up here now, and he said if I'm playing footy, he will take her to the hospital. So I'll give him that privilege, and he has to cut the cord too.
He has to cut the cord?
If I'm busy.
Oh, okay, right. Surely...
If she goes in labour while I'm at the game.
Well, we hope it doesn't come to that.
No.
Nick Holman...
Yeah, Nicky Holman, the boy from Kybrum. I had the pleasure of rooming... Actually, he had the pleasure of rooming with me over in Arizona. He's actually a really hard player. He's hard at it. He showed a bit of that. I hadn't seen too much of him till the weekend against the Bulldogs, but he has a real crack. He's pretty physical, skinny bloke, but he'll put it on a bit of weight when he gets another preseason under his belt. But I've seen him playing games this year. I really do. He's a good young player.
Deledio's from Kybrum, isn't he? Brett
Deledio? Yeah, actually he is. I've seen that actually the other day. He's from the same spot. So I think Nicky Holman actually absolutely dominated for Kybrum last year, so he'll be a good addition to the team.
And Luke Reynolds.
Yeah, Lukey Reynolds, he's another one of those boys that doesn't say absolute anything at the club, so I wouldn't even know if he's here or not. But he's actually a pretty good user of the ball. He's got some good skills, and I can see him racking a few games up and a few posies this year under the reserves, and hopefully get his spot for the spot in the AFL.
And the Irish connection has been maintained, which is a great thing. Kieran Byrne and Kieran Sheehan.
The Kierans. Yeah, we've got a couple of good young players in Kieran Sheehan, both from Ireland, obviously. And because we've got the same name, we call one Casey and one Gus. So Casey is Kieran Burns, and the other one's Kieran Sheehan. So those boys, Casey's actually injured at the moment. He's just got a little bit of tendonitis in his knee, so he's been in the rehab group since actually Arizona, so hopefully he'll come in and it's sometime soon. I think he's doing a fair bit of running, but little Gus, he's getting used to the oval ball, and he's doing pretty well until you obviously take him under the wing with the Irish accents and trying to translate for him and stuff. So they're fitting really nicely. Great bunch of people, the Irish boys, so it's good to have them down here.
Whose job is it to come up with the nickname, or do you just put it into a John Travolta name generator, or how does that work?
Nah, they actually they get given nicknames whenever someone sees them doing something, but I think Casey was actually his... He told me the story that Casey, his little sister, couldn't pronounce his name, Kieran, when she was a baby, so she used to go Casey or something. So that's how you got that. No, no, it's cute, but yeah, it's not the best ones.
So
I don't know how Gus got his. I don't even know.
Is Luke Reynolds a shoo-in just to be Bert, or
no, his name's Dickie, but I think that
Dickie
goes a little bit deeper than it should.
Okay, so
not there, that big the pun.
There you go. Any other nicknames we should know about of any of the recruits?
Casey is actually Fiddler. His nickname is Fiddler because we've seen him on stage a couple of times, and when he gets, because he's obviously getting interviewed as a new Irish recruit, he cannot stop playing around with his genitals. Like when he's on stage, he just fiddles the whole time. So we all noticed that, and he got Fiddler straight away. So yeah, that's his one.
That's great.
You know, when you got his nervous habits, like you might play with your hands, play with your legs, but he just goes straight for the junk, and it must be comforting for him. I don't know.
Maybe he's Fiddler. Poor. Everybody in Ireland is poor, and it's all they have to play with.
Exactly. All the fiddle. Like he tried to palm it off as a plan to fiddle, but
there we go,
first on the podcast, guys.
Thank you. Well, there's our first exclusive, apart from Daisy and Mick and the father and son rule.
Yeah.
Now, Robbo.
Yes, mate.
2014, brand new segment on the Carlton podcast with Mitch Robinson.
Come at me.
Tony Moclair. We're not doing Educating Mitch anymore. What?
Oh, I've been sacked.
No, it's been rested.
It went for about 20 minutes, that little part, so I can see why it's been rested. It's been like Mars bars, work, rest, play.
Thank you, yes. There you go.
Shout out to the sponsors.
Instead, what's going to happen now is the new segment, do you know your teammates, Mitch Robinson?
Yeah, I know myself.
Okay, what I'm going to do is hit you with some questions.
All right, so I didn't get to see these questions. It's fine.
You have to, as quickly as possible, identify the player who is the subject of the quiz. Are you ready?
Yes.
Number one, I was drafted in the fourth round of the 2002 AFL draft.
Do I say the name now? And they're still playing?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
All right.
Carrazzo.
Incorrect. Question number two. I made my debut for the Blues during Round 11's clash with Geelong in 2003.
Why are we going so far back? I didn't even used to watch footy back then. Carrazzo. Carrazzo. That one's Carrazzo.
It's the same person.
Oh, just the whole person?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, okay. I thought the whole questions were someone different.
No.
Oh, okay, now I've got you.
It's okay.
Okay, I've got you now. Let's go.
All right, we'll go to question three then. I hail from the outer eastern suburbs of Melbourne. I think rules out two of the Irish boys.
Yeah, and 2002. Pass.
All right. Into the fourth question now of do you know your teammates, Mitch Robinson? As well as playing for the Blues, I part own a business in the food and beverage industry. That really narrows it down as a footballer.
I still don't know.
All right, we're going to question five.
Give me a second. Food and beverage. Pass. Question five.
All right. If this doesn't bell the cat, I don't know what will. I recently raised a significant amount of money for a chosen charity.
Is this Kate Simpson?
Is that your answer?
Yes.
Yes, Mitch Robinson. It is Kate Simpson.
In a second question. And then I said, once you play this back, guys, you will hear it because I go, Simo? And then like got dead. I said carrots and I go, Simo, you go, next question.
No, that will have to go through the very complicated appeals process for do you know your teammates, Mitch Robinson?
You can go back, because question two, I said carrots and then Simpson and nothing was said.
No, I'll tell you what, the governing body for this game meets in Switzerland once a year and you will have to make your...
Offshore, okay.
Yeah, you'll have to make your case to them.
By the way, wrapping it up in a second, but what food and beverage is he involved with? Slushy King, there's your shout out. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Kate Simpson, I said just replay it.
Replay, I bet you hear it.
And he helps out in charity by letting homeless men eat leftover bits of food from his beard.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I knew when he said beard, I thought the beard.
He's a good man. Robbo, that's the end of the first Carlton podcast for 2014.
It's
on a personal note, can I just say I'm delighted to be doing this with you again.
Mate, it's a privilege.
It's great
both
fun.
Both ways.
And we look forward to lots of players popping in and kicking topics and what around
do the,
with
what
us.
Do the supporters and fans, after having been the number one in the country in the sports podcast, what do they have to look forward to this year? Do we know?
Just no end of entertainment. And I want you, here's what
We've
I want
you to
do. We've
got a few big names coming this year, I'm not going to lie. We've got a few big names.
Well, if you go to the Facebook page and you can nominate for Robbo to play for you in Do You Know Your Teammates, Mitch Robertson. And we'll see if we can organise some sort of prize for you. Robbo, we will catch you next week.
Yep.
And good luck, and go Blues.